Welcome to the second Supercoach Coach podcast of the 2016 preseason. My name's Marcus and I'm joined by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, thanks. It's been, you know, a couple of weeks since we've recorded our last show and we've got NAB Cup footy since then. So I've been hanging out for this one.
Yeah, I posted a tweet yesterday and it was like, can't wait, footy. Yes, footy's on. Oh my God, it's NAB. Turn it off. The games have been blowouts. It really wasn't the most exciting first weekend, but hopefully it gets a bit better as the NAB goes on.
Yeah, we at least got to see plenty of young kids run around, which was a good thing. And that's fairly natural. You know, first week of preseason, a lot of the more senior players aren't playing. But anyway, on to this week's topic of the week. We're starting with the midfield this week, so starting our positional shows for the season.
Getting into it.
Yep. So we'll do one each week over the next month, and hopefully that gives you a good guide to tackle 2016 with. So we've taken our questions this week from social media. So at Supercoach Coach and on facebook.com/supercoachcoach is where you can find us. Thank you very much for your questions. Again, Tuesdays is our normal recording session, so that's also when we take questions for the week. So make sure to hit us up then. And the predominant topics for the week, Mark, are going to be looking at the absolute top line guys, the Fifes, the Ablets, the Pendles. A lot of people debating just how many of them to carry into season 2016. And a fair few mid prices, of course, on discussion as well, which, you know, we try to stay away from in the midfield, but it's only natural early on in the preseason to be looking at a little bit of value and to get tempted into that.
Yeah, especially with a couple of quite talented young players that have been injured last year and cheap price this year.
Yeah. And also not having any rookies to really go off at the moment. Of course, job security is still not something that we can really put together for these young'uns yet. That means that, of course, the focus is increased on the, you know, existing players in the system, the guys that already played last year and that we can draw a little bit of a form line from into 2016. So we'll get straight into the topics, Mark. Is Fife a must-have after week one of the NAB Challenge? That's from at JM Hawkins on Twitter. So I remember in the first podcast, Mark, we talked about Fife potentially being ruled out for consideration due to his high price tag and injured back at that point. But, you know, named in week one, played and played well, and already everybody's swarming to bring him in.
Yeah, I was watching him warm up because he only played the second half, and I could just see watching him that I was going to probably bring him into my team before the end of the game, and most people would have. I thought he looked pretty scratchy, actually. The ball sort of went through his legs a couple of times, and he didn't get first touch. But in half a game, he looked like he's just going to be the Fife of old. I think the question marks are really around, will he play 20-plus games? Given the fact that he hasn't done that since 2011, he always seems to miss games through injury suspension and has had an interrupted preseason. You probably back him in for averaging more than 120 again. He looks like, yeah, he's just going to be an absolute gun of the competition, and he is in my current side. It's sort of him versus Pendles for me at the moment.
So as mentioned before, you know, a big topic for this week is tossing up, you know, which of the premiums to actually spend your money on. So in a vacuum, is Fife a must-have? I would answer no to that. But
definitely no.
Yeah, but could he be, you know, in the top three or top four that you might start this year? Perhaps. So, you know, maybe, you know, amongst a little bit more context, Mark, we've got a question here from Michael from Facebook. Thank you for your question, Michael. He asks, are Fife, Ablett and Pendles all must-haves to start the season? So, you know, we talked about Libber and Rocklift in episode one of our podcast, and we've already said you'd lock three of them away for season 2016.
And Ablett, Rocklift, Cliff Libba.
Yeah, and so if you add Fife and Pendles to that mix, all of a sudden that's five, you know, fairly expensive players. That only leaves three rookie spots left on your team. So, you know, taking that all into context, would you consider, you know, Fife, Ablett and Pendles to be, you know, in that top tier? I guess must have is probably a little bit far-fetched considering we only locked, you know, we already locked three midfielders away last week. I'm guessing they're not must haves for you, Mark.
Yeah, must have is a very big call. Look, I think that there's probably five players that could average over 120 in the midfield this year. Fife, Ablett, Pendles, Rockliffe and Dangerfield. Just based on the previous few years' forms, they're the ones that do appear most likely to do it because they have done it. So it's going to be very difficult to start all five of them plus Liberatore. That's a very deep midfield. It probably is possible, but not many teams are going to be doing that. So you've just got to pick which ones you think are going to dominate out of that group. And I think I know that your opinion's probably a little bit biased on this one, Marcus, but you would have Dangerfield very high on that list as well. Given his durability, I've got Dangerfield pretty high on that list, and I'm probably pretty likely to start him. So I don't think I can get Fife and Pendles both in as well. So both awesome players, both could easily average 125. Fife maybe has a bit of a higher ceiling, more fun to barrack for than Pendles.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm actually the reverse from you, Mark. Dangerfield's not quite that high. Maybe I'm a little bit tentative because he's just joined our ranks and, you know, don't want to go too crazy on his ceiling for 2016. But I actually, as mentioned in you know, our first podcast, I have him maybe even missing out on my team this year. You know, I talked about him being at a career high Supercoach average, and I know you talk about his potential, but I also don't know how he's going to fit into the Geelong outfit and stuff like that. So durability is definitely a huge tick on his side at the very least, but I think I would have Pendlebury above Dangerfield. Pendlebury is capable of averaging more than 116. We have seen that, and so he already presents value, whereas, you know, Dangerfield, you kind of have, you're counting on him still improving from this point. And of course Fife has to come into consideration, but again, injury history worries me a little bit. I probably like Pendlebury, Ablett and Libba as you know, the three out of those five. And then I'd actually have Fife and Dangerfield after that.
I think if you're going on previous scoring history, then Pendlebury has to stand out. He's had an average of 129 before. Yep. He's had four seasons over 120. Only missed one game in the last 3 years. From that, and that's despite the fact that he's been injured in a lot of those games. So I know that there is some question marks on Pendlebury's role this year. There's some talk of him going back into the back line, and he was seen taking some kick-ins during the NAB game. So there's probably a couple of question marks over Pendlebury, and why did he drop down in his average last year, and is the Collingwood midfield a lot deeper this year, so he's not going to have quite the same role that he had through that really hot patch that he had. Collingwood were also a lot better team when he was going through that hot patch. So, yeah, I think personally I'm more inclined to back the up-and-comers in Danger and Fife who are on the cusp.
Mm. Okay, so, you know, taking into account that there's five of these blokes and you're likely to want to get Libba in as well, how many are you looking at starting at this point of the season? Of course, it's very early on and we got a lot of questions about structure, but, you know, just wanting to see where you're sitting at right at this moment.
Right at the moment, I actually have all five plus Libba in my team, so gone a very, very expensive midfield, but that's kind of still in the playing around stages. Yeah. And I think that I'm going to discover some more midfield rookies that I'm really going to want to have in my team, which is going to push that back. And I think Liberatore as my fourth or fifth mid is probably my ideal setup. So three, maybe four is how I'll end up.
And I guess, you know, that probably answers that question about, you know, structure at this moment. It's too hard to tell, really. You obviously have an unrealistic midfield at this moment with six premium mids, and you're already talking about maybe dropping down to four. So
I think that one of the reasons why that is because they're actually not as expensive as normal. I mean, Fife at 670 is the most expensive, and you've got Ablett at 620 and Pendles at 620. These are prices that we haven't seen them at in a really long time, like these really top-end premiums.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. 670 for five still seems like a lot of coin to me, but early on in the season, we've all got the dream lineup. So just expanding on that, we probably aren't going to answer as much of those sorts of questions. Like Tim's asked, how many mid-price players in the midfield this year? We've got a few questions about how many premiums, which of the top line premium. It's all too early to say, really, at this point. So we're just going to look at the players each on their merits, do a little bit of ranking like we've done to the top five, and hopefully that gives you a good platform to make your decisions with over the preseason, rather than have a really specific show in week two that loses a little bit of relevance as we go on. So, with that mindset, we'll move on to talking about some of the Sydney premium midfielders who at this stage have been neglected. So, in all that top five talk, it's funny that, not one single of those Sydney midfielders has popped their head in there, because they normally are well represented. But last year, as a group, they did drop off a little bit. And so we've got this question here for at M Town Ballers from Twitter. Cannot decide between the Sydney premium mids. Can you rank them for me? He's got Kennedy in there at the moment. So he referenced four premium mids, but I count potentially even five. Hanbury, JPK, Mitchell, Parker, and Jack. How do you have them ranked, Mark? And are you seriously considering starting any of them this season?
No, and for the exact reason why we're getting this question, and that is, I think maybe in a different team, all of them could average 120 plus. Maybe not Jack anymore, but I think Parker, Kennedy, Mitchell, and Hanbury certainly could. But because they're all in the same team, you just can't have four of them averaging over 120. It just puts a cap on their ceiling, especially when you've got Buddy and Tippett and McVeigh and other real quality players in that team as well. They're going to average quite well. I think Mitchell's an absolute beast. He could easily average 115. Hanbury is an absolute gun, but I mean, he averaged 113 last year in a great season. Kennedy's top season is 119, and that was now four seasons ago. He's only actually averaged over 110 twice. Their ceiling seems capped by the fact that they bat so deep with some real, real quality.
Yep, and we saw Dean Towers do quite well as well over the weekend in the NAB Challenge week one. So they've got lots of young talent as well popping their heads up. I think Jake Lloyd, 31 possessions, and so they'll continue to have that pressure come on in their midfield ranks. So I agree with you there, Mark. Moving on to the next question here from at Fabregasto or the Kraken, thanks for your question. Assuming everyone has Gadge, Rockliffe, Pendles, and Libba, which the both of us are keen on those four players, which other midfielders do you like? And so this is looking more at the slightly cheaper range now. Luke Parker, Ollie Wines, Taylor Adams, and Joel Selwood are the players that he's referenced. But of course, any sort of players in that sort of price range, do you like any of them, Mark? They're sitting under 110, so they all have obviously strong potential to break into, that ultra elite bracket and therefore be good value for money.
Yeah, I personally can't actually see any of those guys doing that. I know that Selwood has been there in the past, and he has also had awesome seasons off limited preseasons as well. But he really has had a really limited preseason. I know he had surgery in January on one of his feet. He probably struggled a bit last year after getting beaten up of being the only sort of real dominant Geelong midfielder for a little while. So he's copped a lot of pressure, maybe hurting his body after a while. I don't think on that preseason you could actually start Joel Selwood. Hopefully he gets cheaper at some point and starts to build up to some form, but I don't think he's going to be ready to go round one. They've said today that he'll probably be picked round one, but I don't think he's going to be dominant. Ollie Wines, I had him for a little while last year, ended up averaging 97 for the season. I think Port's midfield can be a bit up and down. Seems to have potential to do really well, but I'm not sure whether he has that really, really high ceiling potential. Luke Parker, out of the Sydney boys, he's probably the one that I like just because of his price, but again, his ceiling's a bit limited. Taylor Adams, probably disposal isn't good enough to get a really, really high average. I think all of them are probably, they probably accept Selwood anyway, all of them are probably okay to good picks. They present value at their price, but then I don't see them being in that really, really top bracket.
I think Joel Selwood, I could see him, potentially getting back to that point by the end of the season, but definitely not as a starting pick because of the reasons that you mentioned. I think Parker, you know, we've talked about just before, and I agree with your points as well, Mark. Wines, I maybe disagree with you a little bit. I think last year, before he got affected by injury, he was actually playing and scoring quite well. You know, so he finished on 97.31, and I think you may have picked him up when he on a return from injury. But, you know, I definitely think if he's playing in a team that's vying for finals, which Port didn't end up doing last year, that he could be a, you know, really scary prospect for opposition. But also, you know, in your Supercoach teams, he's currently priced at 97. If he can average 110, it's a 13-point increase and something that he's done before getting injured. So, you know, we got a question here from Neely underscore 23 on Twitter asking whether or not Wines could be a top 10 mid. So I don't really think that's too far off. And because of that, I do see, you know, a bit of value in him. Having said that, I think it's hard to pick him because if you're going for, you know, Libba and Rockcliffe ahead of Wines, then you're picking three quite mid price players that you probably don't want to do. You know, they're not 300-400k players, but if you're going to spend that much money in your midfield, why not just pick up, you know, Pendlebury or Ablett or Dangerfield or Fife, who we've talked about previously. So it's a tricky price bracket because you're still punting on them, you know, breaking out. But I do think Wines is fairly close, Mark.
Yeah, I think just to correct you from before, he's only played three games before getting injured last year, so pretty small sample size. The Port's draw is the thing that would get me. I do think that they should make the finals this year, and they didn't last year. Their draw is, they've gone from one of the hardest draws to one of the easiest draws, which means that you should probably be looking for premiums within their team, and there's not a lot of obvious ones, with Wingard having a few issues over the preseason. They don't really have a lot of standout premiums, and if you were going to pick one, Ollie would probably be the one. So, no, I think you make a good case, and I think that he could definitely turn out to be a good pick.
One that's, you know, caused a lot of heartbreak last year, Mark, but, you know, is worth bringing up again, even though we didn't get a question about him, probably because of the heartbreak. But Rory Sloane, 105.5 was his final average. We've seen the kid average 115, and, you know, in and out with facial injuries, he still did pretty well. So is he worthwhile considering, Mark?
I think that Adelaide's draw is one of the hardest ones, which is going to be difficult for him, and it's probably meant that I'm staying away from Adelaide premiums as a whole, really. And the fact that Danger isn't there worries me a lot, because he has shown that he can be stifled a bit by the tag. You'd expect him to get a pretty regular tag this year. He's not just going to be out running around free. So I think he's in for a very different year than what he's had in the past without Danger there.
That's a pretty good point you bring up there, Mark. Trent Cotchin, another one in that price bracket that I want to bring up. 99.81.
99, is that all he got last year?
That's all he got last year. So think about the value, Mark. Don't think about how poor a season he had. Just think about the value.
So he's had one season where he's averaged over 110, and he's now played eight seasons. That's not awesome from a Supercoach perspective. I'm as big a Cotchin fan as you'll find, but
yep.
There's no way I could ever pick him again. Like, it's to the stage where so many people have picked him for the last few years, expecting him to go on, and it just hasn't happened. You're almost just going to have to do it in hindsight now, because it just has failed so often.
Yeah. So before we move on, Patrick Cripps and Mitch Duncan are two that we got questions from on social media. Harry Hoare asked about Mitch Duncan on Facebook, so thank you for your question. Thoughts on either of those blokes?
I don't think that you can pick Cripps in what is essentially his second year. It is his third year, but second full year. The fact that Carlton are not expected to win many games at all is going to be a huge impact on his ability to get points. He'll probably have a really good year. If he averages 105, that's probably a really awesome year for his third year. He could do better than that, but the odds of that happening in such a potentially poor side is probably really low. So I think the risk on Cripps is too high. I think you're much better off going for someone like an Ollie Wines from a team with at least a good draw and a chance of making the finals.
Yeah.
And Duncan I'll leave too, because he probably does have the potential to do really well.
Yeah, I think he's rated as one of the, you know, more elite kicks in the competition, and that's not necessarily because he's the most creative kick, but he just hits his target fairly reliably, which we all know is pretty good for Supercoach. I'd question Dangerfield coming into the team and how that's going to affect him. I'm not too sure how he's going to fit into... I'm just not sure about the Geelong midfield, basically. I'm not going to pick either Selwood, Duncan, or even Dangerfield at this point in time. And so because of that, yeah, he doesn't quite make the cut at this moment. But having said that, he definitely has the potential. If I was more certain on him becoming an ultra premium player, somebody that could average 110, I'd probably be more willing to recommend him. But he probably looks more like a 105 sort of prospect, especially with Selwood and Dangerfield stealing points off him. So because of that, yeah, I don't have him rated as high.
Yep. Very cool.
Josh Gibbs has asked about more mid prices now. Libba, O'Meara, Daisy, Crouch, and Polek. So I noticed especially, Libba, we've talked about before, but O'Meara, Crouch, and Polek, a little bit of attention on social media. What are your thoughts on those blokes? Especially considering most of us are locking away a Libba and a Rockliffe type. This is a lot of money spent on, mid-price-ish midfield players.
Sure. When you're picking a mid-priced midfielder, you really want them to have at least some chance of becoming a full-blown premium. So that's why Libba looks such a good pick, because he's actually done it before.
Yeah.
O'Meara definitely has the potential to be a midfield premium, and I think that there's been people out there that said that he could be the best player in the AFL ever. And Crouch, by his numbers, also has the potential to be a premium midfielder, and he's probably likely to do that at some stage in the next 2 years. The problem with Crouch and O'Meara is that they've had interrupted preseasons. If these guys are any chance of coming back or becoming that premium midfield, I think that they need to have full preseasons, go into the season fully fit. O'Meara's still in doubt for round one. Crouch has had a couple of good runs, played well in an intra cup a couple of weeks ago, but he's out with a few knocks. He's had a bit of soreness in his foot since then. I think these are just enough warning signs that both of those guys were in my very, very first side that I picked, like in start of January and December, whenever it was. But since then, there's been enough news about them to make them really good players, might turn out okay, but way too risky.
I agree with you there. And traditionally in the midfield, we're not looking for players in that price range unless they are proven premiums who are returning from long-term injury. So Libba ticks those boxes, but the other four blokes don't, and that's pretty much in line with what you've said, Mark. So agree with you, especially considering we've spent a majority of the show talking up the top line prospects and talking about the fact that it'll be hard to narrow the top line premiums down.
Yeah, and I think that as we see the NAB develop, we're going to see enough good rookies come up. I mean, Hopper starting this weekend. Mills had a really great game on the weekend. There's a few Bombers that might be of interest after this week. A couple of the Brisbane boys have already put their hand up. I think that there's enough rookies that you're going to want to have in your team that you're probably going to need, it's too early to call, but you're going to need 5 or 6 spots for rookies at least.
And midfield rookies are generally where the cash generation is at.
The money is.
Yeah. Of course, this year, though, without the, frustrating sub-rule, we'll probably just see more cash across the board anyway. All right. We've got another question here from @Fabregasto, and, along the similar lines, with, Libba being so cheap, and he's referenced Crouch here, but I don't think either of us are too crash hot on Brad Crouch, even though he's a top line talent. Is it worth looking at Gibbs, Swallow, Hanley, Cripps, Lockie Hunter, etc.? So furthering the conversation we've just had, is there anybody outside of Libba, Rockliffe, and the top line blokes that you're actually looking at? And if so, who are they?
Personally, I'm not, and it's not really my style or strategy of playing this game. I think maybe a few years ago it was, when you could find someone out of the blue that nobody else had and they turned out to be really awesome. I think that can still happen, and it does happen sometimes, but it's extremely rare that it actually works out. So if you want to pick a player, you're playing against your mates, you want to pick a player that you really want to back in, like a Lockie Hunter type player, then maybe that risk is worth taking. But I think that if you're looking for consistent top-end results, then picking those players is just going to get you into trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, just looking at the first three players listed there, you know, it's already indicative of why that strategy has proven to be, you know, more hit and miss over the years. When you hit, you know, great, because you've picked a player that nobody else is on the train with you, but they're doing, you know, fantastically well. But the downside is the rest of the years waiting for that moment is painful. So Bryce Gibbs, for example, has been on the radar, you know, for quite a while. But until you've picked him in the year that he's actually broken out on, he's just caused a lot of years of heartbreak. Swallow's the same, and I've been on the Swallow train a few times, hoping that he'll break out into that next bracket, but they all have their existing concerns. Swallow is great in the inside, but not so great at racking up the outside ball, and he's always having poor disposal because he's extracting the ball under pressure. Gibbs plays for Carlton, hasn't had a super chop out, and his midfield minutes keep getting mixed up, keeps having to play more of a utility role. A lot of these factors still carry into 2016, and sure, they might disappear for a year, or they might finally be good enough to step out into that next level. But, you know, as Mark has alluded to before, if you ask for consistently good results, you probably don't want to be the guy hanging out on Swallow or Gibbs to take that next step in terms of Supercoach average, because most years you'll be left wanting. And the sad part about having these players and waiting for them to break out is they've cost you a lot of monetary investment. You could have put in an extra 100K and got an absolute top line player that will be in the top eight midfielders for the year. But meanwhile, you've had, you know, an extra 300 or 400K that's been invested in this player instead of being spread out, that isn't generating you extra cash, that is barely returning, you know, a flat return on your, you know, monetary spend. So I think just strategically, it doesn't seem to make much sense, you know, punting on these long shots to pay off. Is that a very convoluted way of saying that?
No, I think that was exactly right, and I think that it needed to be drummed in a little bit more.
Yeah. That's good. All right. So, you know, last question that we got from social media here. Craig's asked, plenty of juicy mid-price options this year. Is he falling into a trap? So, we have spent a lot of time talking about some of the more fringe mid-prices. Yeah, how would you like to call it at the moment, having seen the questions come in through social media, Mark?
Look, I think that of all years, the mid-price group of players does seem to be better this year than it has been in recent years. And because a lot of the rookies that you're looking at, so say a Mills or a Hopper, are quite expensive, then those mid-price players don't seem quite so far away. And there's a lot of like cheap forwards like the Jed Andersons or Liam Duggins that are low $200,000, almost rookie prices as well. So, look, I can understand why people are more tempted towards the mid prices this year. As a rule, is it a trap? Yes, I think it is. The odd season, it might actually come off. I think that you should still be trying to limit the amount of those guys that you do have in your team, though. What do you think about it this year, mate? Because I know that you like to have a punt on a mid-pricer.
Yeah, I do. And I love value across the board, but I tend to find that, you know, the more we draw close to the lockout, the final lockout, and it's now, was it 29 days away, the more my team becomes more mainstream, if anything, more narrow in its selections, because you realize that those extra punts that you're taking are risks, and risks that are harder to correct because you've invested extra money into. When a rookie doesn't work out, that's fine. You just swap it to another rookie before the price change. If a premium midfielder doesn't work out, big deal, you might lose like 3 points on 115 average to 112. They're still great players. They're still scoring really great points. It's not a big deal, but you know, when these guys don't work out, you tend to realize, wow, that'll hurt on field for a while. If I have to spend an upgrade on a guy that I've paid a lot of money for in the first place, that's going to hurt. And so, yeah, I think as we progress throughout the preseason, a lot of us will move toward more of the linear picks, which will be, you know, Fife, Amblett, Dangerfield, the guys that we've talked about. But you know, having said that, at this point in the preseason, I think it's perfectly fine. It's great, in fact, to be debating these mid prices, and it tends to be what I enjoy about the preseason, Mark.
Yes, I have noticed that, and you do try and what was your backline last year? You had like six mid prices or something like that.
Yeah. I don't do it in Yeah, I don't do it in the midfield as much, but I definitely like to take my punts in, you know, in the back line. And, you know, in the other positions, it's also easier to swap into a premium, because premiums in the back line, they have the odd poor game. Even in the forward line, you know, they'll have the odd poor game. But when you're a midfielder and you're a premium midfielder, you're a consistent guy, that's why you're brought in the first place. Or that's why you're averaging so well in the first place. It's a lot harder to swap to those guys. We talk about it hard to be picking up Pendlebury late in the season. But, you know, whereas if you take the mid-price risk in the back line, it's easier to just side swap.
So if you're looking to sort of lower your risk with the mid-prices, just as a rough guide, how many would you feel comfortable taking into the season?
So I think you should probably differentiate mid-prices like Rockcliffe and Libba, guys who are just undeniable value, because you build your team around those core value players. But, you know, in terms of a true mid-pricer, I'd probably only be looking for one. In the midfield, only one, because you want to be stacking your team with the best scorers in the game and the best rookies in the game, and there's not much space for anything else.
So outside of Libba, one maximum, probably more like zero.
Yeah, so like I want to see something great from Omira, Crouch, Polek, the guys that we've tossed out so far, in order to say that.
I think that fully, like 100% fit, if they came back in October and they were just running the entire preseason, I would probably actually consider doing the Liberatore, Omira, Crouch treble. I do think that Crouch and Omira are that good that I would actually consider breaking the rules to have them in my team if I thought that they were fully fit and could reach like their absolute optimum level this season. But because they're not, I just think that rules them out, as it just makes them far too risky.
So, you know, hopefully as the preseason progresses, we get tempted, you know, a little bit more into these guys. Like you said, Mark, it's a little bit unfortunate. Most of the results over the weekend, you know, Crows 148, Eagles 48, Dockers 90, Tigers 30. I mean, there was some closer games, but I think, you know, it was all at least four goals apart, and those were in more lower scoring games. So
some teams like the Tigers, like they didn't have their 10 best players in the team.
Yeah. It's too far out to draw too much from the weekend, unfortunately. And, you know, with mid-prices, you tend to want to see two brilliant games before people get excited. So I'm tipping that if we had this show this time next week, that the hype would have built on some of these, you know, younger mid-price players.
Yeah.
Well, it works well for me, because we'll be doing, you know, either the back line or the forward line next week. And that means that I get to hype up some mid-prices in more relevant positions.
Yeah, well, I think that there's, depending on your definition of a mid-pricer, there's a lot probably available in both of those positions.
And going off the sounds of your current midfield, you must be stacked with mid-prices everywhere else, mate.
Not really. Some of the cheaper players in there, but my forward line probably has a couple at the moment.
Do you have any comments on, you know, any of the Essendon midfielders? I didn't know whether to include it in this show, because we did get question about Crowley, for example, but is it too early to tell, especially because the Bombers didn't even play a practice game on the weekend?
Yeah, look, I think it definitely is too early to tell. I think that the best 22 for the Bombers is really up for grabs at the moment. You should definitely keep an eye on Crowley, Parrish, Simpkin and Polkinghorne this week. They are four that should have a chance of making a team. At the moment, I like Parrish and Crowley out of those four.
So that wraps up this week's show, guys. Hope it was helpful to you guys. And it's still early on in the preseason, and we like doing this midfield show first up, because at the end of the day, we mostly pick the absolute top line blokes, which you can discuss fairly early on in the preseason, and also picking the best rookies, which you pick fairly late on in the season. And our last show for the season tends to be, you know, have a fair rookie segment, if not be a complete rookie show. So we find this a good way to go about it.
Yeah, so much to discuss. I feel like I've in the last week, probably my mind's got right into Supercoach mode, and I'm just living, breathing this stuff already. Send footy back. I think that it's just gonna head more in that direction.
Yeah. Once we get a bit of a form line going with some of these NAB Challenge games and see a bit more of the senior players return, it'll be better and better. So thank you to everyone for your questions and for tuning in to this week's show. fantastic that you're back with us for season 2016. Anybody that was listening to us last year, and for all the new listeners, we hope you've enjoyed the first couple of shows. If you haven't listened to the first one, I think we try and keep our shows fairly relevant throughout the preseason, so you can go back and listen to that. It's episode about locks and the changes in prizes for 2016, and go through, you know, some of the top players in each line as well. So having a listen to that if you haven't already. When this podcast goes up, for those of you who listen through iTunes, we'll also be posting league codes on supercoachcoach.com.au with this actual podcast post. So if you're looking to sign up for our leagues, you can do so there and join our group as well, things like that. I haven't sorted out those details, but they'll be out by the time this podcast is posted. So have a look out for that. And next week, we'll be launching a campaign, which we'll fill you in on next week. So just keep your eyes out on that. Looking for a bit of support from our community. So look out for that. Mark, anything to add?
I can't believe you're not picking Dangerfield.
Yeah, it's hurting me at the moment.
But Danger.
I think I'm just trying not to buy in the hype. You know, I don't want to lift the lid.
No, I'm hyping him up.
I'm hyping him up.
All summer till the season starts, I'm going to try and convince you to take
That's good, because you know how much I love being on the Danger train. It's just weird that he's actually in my team now. So, yeah, you know how it is when, you know, some people don't like betting against their own team or tipping against their own team. You know, it's sort of that way when you pick a player, though, is that when they go poorly, you know, you're like, no, please don't. Please don't get subbed off, even though you know it's for the greater of your Geelong team. So it makes it a little bit harder to pick him.
Yeah, at least I don't have that trouble with the Bombers this year. I don't have to worry about that.
All right, Mark. And with that, we'll leave you guys and we'll be back next week. Do you reckon the back line or the forwards, mate?
Probably the forwards, mate. I think I need a bit more time in the back line. There's still a fair bit of mysteries back there.
Okay. All right. So, decided. It's the forwards next week, so make sure you tune in again. We'll be asking for questions on Tuesday. Massive thanks again to our community. Catch you next week. See ya.
See ya.